The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed seeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The servant said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first, bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then he left the crowds and went into his house. And his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated. It is a little bit difficult to say the good news of the Lord after I've just read weeping and gnashing of teeth, but there is good news. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to how a good sower deals with a field in which both wheat and weeds are growing. Notice that this parable is explained to the disciples, not to the crowds, which is Matthew, the author's way of telling us that it's mainly aimed at the church, just like last week's reading. That is, church leaders, pastors, deacons, cantors, councils. It's a parable in which Jesus warns against judging and urges patience and restraint. You think we live in a judgmental time? Well, I guess we do. These days, it seems like half of society sits in wait to judge others for being racist or nationalist on the one hand, while on the other hand, the other half of society is eager, sitting in wait, to judge for political correctness or liberal smugness, just all sitting in wait to judge one another. But we're not the only ones who've ever been tempted to judge one another. The author, Matthew, wrote this gospel to his Christian congregation about 50 years after Jesus died and rose. And his congregation was apparently also full of people judging one another, which is probably why Matthew made sure to include this parable of weeds and wheat in his book. What do you do with bad seed when bad and good are growing right next to one another? Well, bad seed has been described by Christians as various bad behaviors and actions over the last 2,000 years. And looking back on some of them, things considered to be sinful, bad behavior, some of them surprise us now, including the bad behavior of getting married, because, you know, only single people had enough time and energy to spend on the gospel. But a few here, I think, can remember back when some Christians considered dancing or drinking or divorce divorce as sinful or suspect. Some bad behaviors look a bit ridiculous in hindsight, with the eyes of history. Others don't. And I think it's true that we all see particular behaviors as harmful, bad, inappropriate, especially for fellow Christians. The human inclination, though, is to immediately try to figure out, when hearing this parable, which behaviors are the bad ones, what's bad seed, what shouldn't we do and what should we do so that we can avoid them. But that's not the direction that Jesus gives. What do you do with such Christians? Asks Matthew's congregation. Nothing, Jesus says. You don't do anything. On the last day, God will take care of it. It's to be so hands-off for us that Jesus even mentions that angels are the reaper, not the church, not Christians. We're not to have anything to do with judging what's good and what's bad. Reaping. So this parable is aimed first at the church, but it also can describe the world and even ourselves. And whenever this parable comes up, every 3 years that is, I can't help but remember hearing my first sermon on it about 25 years ago or so, and how troubled I was by it. It was preached in a way that revealed a gracious God. I don't remember the sermon, but I know that because I know the preacher. But I couldn't hear any of that because all I could hear was that the parable was about personal salvation. I wasn't sure if I was wheat or weed. See, I'd been looking for a church for a little while, and after attending a Lutheran church in Summit, New Jersey, I simply ate up all of the grace-filled sermons. I'd never heard of God preached in such gracious terms. But when I heard this parable, I thought I must have misunderstood everything. Well, God might be gracious, but now after this parable, it really comes down to whether I am wheat or weed. So after the evening service, I went into the pastor's office. He ended up becoming my pastor. And I meant to ask him about the parable in a very kind of intellectual and theoretical way. I was a professional young woman in my mid-20s. But as soon as I saw him behind his desk, I blurted out, "So how do I know if I'm wheat or weed, Pastor?" And the reality is, we don't. I mean, if our perception of bad behavior changes so much over time, dancing as sinful, we chuckle, how can we be sure based on our behavior? Reality is that the biggest weed in each of us, all human beings, sin, is our deeply rooted need for control. The sinner in us thinks, oh, if I know what to do and what not to do, then I'll be okay. God has to accept me because I'm doing the right thing. See how we try even to take control of God and God's judgment. We can't trust our discernment or even our actions because the sinner in us will be very pleased to throw others under the bus so that we come out all right. Well, I may do that, but she does something much worse. And what if judging itself is one of the most treacherous sins? Reality is that we simply don't know what wheat or weed is or can tell the difference. And the good news is that we don't have to. We can trust the Son of Man, Christ, to judge for us. He's not only a good sower, he's a merciful reaper. And just as last week, the seed itself is good. We can trust the seed. all we can do is trust his judgment and his mercy, and in the meantime, trust what he plants in us. After all, don't we too want evil and sin to be burned up, even that sin within us? Don't we yearn for the evil in the world to be gone? Both weeds and wheat grow until the end of ages, whenever that is. Then, at that time, all of the sin that is in us, all that we've done and left undone, all of the horrendous evil in the world, all of the injustice, the cruelty, the disease, all will be burned up and destroyed. And until then, we don't have to worry about evil or sin or weeds. All we do is hold fast to the one who offers us mercy, who shines like the sun, who feeds us with his word, who comes to us each week through the meal to forgive and embrace and claim us once again, and to send us out into the world every week. He doesn't only love and forgive and claim us for our own sake, yes, he does that, but also for the sake of the world, so that the world might see our trust in this merciful God and come to know such a gracious, grace-filled, loving, and merciful God. Amen.